Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we're going to go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for giving us the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you so much again for the peace and safety that we experienced here in the Cleveland, Ohio area during the Republican National Convention this past week. And we do pray that you would also extend that protection and that safety over Philadelphia as they host the Democrat National Convention this coming week. And we just pray, God, that you would bless the program, use us to point people to Christ and encourage people in their walk with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. And let me tell you, looking back over the course of the past week, I have to say that I really am surprised that I'm able to come on the air tonight and say, wow, hardly anything happened in terms of the protests and some of the dire predictions of Cleveland burning. The one incident, I guess, with the guy trying to light the flag on fire and ended up lighting himself on fire. And so the police were trying to put him out. He thought they were trying to put the flag out. And I guess he didn't really get injured too badly on that. But if that's one of the worst things that happened, there were some small things. It wasn't, you know, absolutely without any incident whatsoever. But I really do believe that looking back in retrospect, it was the emphasis from the top, from the city of Cleveland, from the Cleveland police chief, Calvin Williams, and certainly can't say enough about how well he did. He was out on the streets. He was mixing around with people. And he even joined in prayer with people, even the protesters on Public Square during the convention. And I think when you have that kind of attitude from the top down, speaking again of Williams, Calvin Williams, the police chief, he even was put out a request for pastors, for churches, for Christians in the Cleveland area to pray for, you know, the peace and safety during the convention. And then, of course, you know, the Republican National Committee, they put out some requests and they reached out to people, and even the Trump campaign reached out to some people. There were a number of things scheduled. We talked about some of our past programs. There were a number of prayer meetings scheduled at different times, different churches praying, and I think God really blessed. He really answered prayer. And so it was an exciting time. I encourage you to go check out our webpage at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I've got some things and some pictures and stuff from the convention there. You can also link to our Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al, and you can see some more things, some more pictures and such not on our Facebook page there. And it was kind of funny because this time last week, you know, I was looking at some of the things here on the air with our with the Republican Party platform and some good positive developments there. And then on Monday, I was able to go to a pastor's briefing. It was kind of interesting. I was sitting there at the pastor's briefing, and the Chad Connolly, who's the Faith Outreach Director for the Republican Party, National Faith Outreach Director, asked if I was going to the convention, and I said, well, I'll be downtown as I was going to be helping some people with passing out some welcome packets featuring a gospel track and a John and Romans in it, and keys to a website, welcometocleveland.com. And I said, well, you know, I'll be downtown, but I don't really have any way into the convention. And he said, don't leave right away. And one of his assistants came up afterwards and gave me a pass to the Wednesday night convention. And one day, so I took advantage of it. I got there Wednesday about noon and stayed until midnight before I left. But on Tuesday, I joined with Pastor John Lutz of North Coast Baptist Church. And, of course, he was helping out with a program spearheaded by Cleveland Baptist Church, putting out these welcome packets with the Welcome to Cleveland.com logo. And we were out on one side, on the north side of downtown, closer to the lake. And, you know, it was really nice. People were friendly. The delegates were coming through. They were excited to be in Cleveland. Every once in a while, you hear sirens going, and then some motorcade would go through taking somebody in. At one point, we saw former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, walking down the street, walking along, him and his wife and some people, and just different ones here and there. And of course, for our folks in the Tampa area, you probably remember some similar things happening back 4 years ago when the Republican convention was there. And then got a lot of these Welcome to Cleveland packets, a lot of, like I said, have an opportunity to talk to a lot of people there, and it went well. And originally I was going to be there Wednesday as well, but with the pass to the convention, I got in there, and so I wandered around the convention, had a very interesting time, got to go down on the floor before they closed off the floor before the evening's thing started, and stand up around the stage when they were doing sound checks when former Speaker Gingrich came in, and of course, Ted Cruz, when he did his sound check earlier in the afternoon, things of that nature, wandered around, found the American Samoan delegation's seats. No, they weren't there yet. I was looking for them in particular because my wife and I, as missionaries, spent 4 years living in American Samoa. We planted a church there, and it is still there today, I'm happy to report, and it's still going strong via Oleola Baptist Church, which basically means the river of life or water of life, and they're still going strong. And so we had seen the list of the delegates from American Samoa and realized that there was at least two people on the list that we knew. So later that evening, as the delegates were coming in, I was trying to identify anybody from the American Samoan delegation. I was praying, saying, well, Lord, you know, it's a big place. There's thousands of people here, and it's not a very big delegation. And it wasn't too long after that, I actually ran into a couple of people that were delegates, alternate delegates. And one guy obviously looked Samoan. He was dressed in traditional Samoan style. I came up to him and said, excuse me, are you Samoan, from American Samoa? And he said, yes. And he looked kind of pleased that I stopped him. And I said, Talofalava, Amaioi, which is a basic tradition, you know, usual Samoan greeting, basically translates to, hello, how are you? And he smiled. He was surprised that somebody spoke to him in Samoa. Oh, Manuia Fafatai, which is, well, thank you. And so we had a nice conversation. And unfortunately, by that time, the floor was closed. I couldn't get down there. And as an alternate delegate, I guess he couldn't get down there either at the time. So they sent a text down to some of the people to try and get me in touch with one of the people who was there that night that I knew. And unfortunately, we didn't get connected up there, but we did get in touch with them on the phone later on. And so that was kind of exciting and a lot of fun. But like I said, what a blessing to see how smoothly things went. And as I said, I think that came from the top down, and right from the beginning, the emphasis on prayer, the emphasis on keeping the peace, the emphasis on being proactive in the things that they did. And so it was a real blessing to see how well things went. Even some of the most optimistic thoughts, you know, were that things would be a lot worse than what they were. So I hope and pray that in Philadelphia, the city leaders, the law enforcement and such in Philadelphia, you know, take a lesson from that, and that some of the Christians, some of the churches in Philadelphia bathe that city and that area in prayer. And so, you know, certainly you can. You don't have to be living in Philadelphia to pray for the peace and safety there. And I know a lot of people were praying for peace and safety here in Cleveland this past week. And certainly, as I said, I want to certainly publicly thank Cleveland Police Chief Calvin Williams and all of the Cleveland City Police Department, and certainly all of the other law enforcement agencies, local, state, and federal, from around the country that were there, and they did a superb job. And there's actually a video online. I've got it linked, I think, on my Facebook, or I'll be putting it on my Facebook, where Cleveland Police Department did a little video thanking people for, you know, all that they did, you know, to make their job easier. So certainly we just want to praise God for the just the superb way everything went, and then continue to pray that things will go well in Philadelphia this coming week. Well, there's a lot of other things happening in the world too, and like I said, you can give us a call here tonight at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. We don't have to talk about the past convention. We don't have to talk about the coming convention. We don't even have to talk about politics. As you know, the theme of the show, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. Also point out that on Wednesday, I was able to be on as a guest on the Bill Bunkley Show. And of course, the Bill Bunkley Show is on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa. And for our Tampa listeners, many of you probably listen to the Bill Bunkley Show. And he is on from, I believe, 4 to 6, I think, is the time frame there. But I was on the 20th, that's Wednesday, and come on about 4:40, I think, is about what time we got on the program. So I've actually got that linked on our Facebook page, and if you want to take a listen, you can go to our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al, or you can go to the webpage for Faith Talk 570 910 WTBN in Tampa, Florida. And I had that right here at the tip of my thing here, and I can't find it right at the moment, but I believe it's let me see if I can find it here. I think it's Faith Talk. Usually I have it here, and I'm just, here it is, letstalkfaith.com. I just, my eyes crossed, and I can't see what I'm looking at. Letstalkfaith.com, and you can click on the Bill Bunkley Show, and you can see some of the podcast there, and you can listen to that. And it was good. I enjoyed being able to be on with him. I really thank Bill Bunkley for giving me the opportunity to be on that program. Well, I was going to share a couple of things. Last week, we talked a bit about the Republican Party platform, and still excited about some of the things that are in it. Certainly excited about the desire to remove the Johnson Amendment that tries to muzzle churches, and certainly was excited to hear Donald Trump during his acceptance speech Thursday night voice his support for getting rid of the Johnson Amendment. Of course, the Johnson Amendment was put in place by then Senator Lyndon Johnson. At that time, he was a senator from Texas, and his what it did is it basically muzzled the churches and various nonprofit organizations. If you have nonprofit status, you weren't supposed to be partisan, and it muzzles a lot of churches. A lot of churches are afraid to even engage in political related speech that they're perfectly allowed to. And because they're afraid that, they're just afraid of losing their tax exempt status, I guess. I would point out, in all fairness, that that usually only applies to conservative churches, because I don't know if your city is anything like the area here, but certain candidates go to certain churches every time the presidential elections come through, and nobody says anything about them having certain candidates in the pulpit and then passing the plate, collecting money for that candidate's campaign, and the pastor urging the church to vote for Democrat candidate. So as a result, they don't seem to worry about too much. It's the conservative churches that worry about it. But he wants to get rid of, repeal that, and that was put in place, I want to say, about 1954 or so. And I think it's something that needs to be gotten rid of myself. And that was good. That was heartening to hear that. But as I said, I was going to share some things, picking out a few things in the Democrat Party platform. And with everything going on, I haven't had a chance to study it too much. And I do encourage you to look these platforms up online. You can just go down, get your computer out, log on, go to Google and type in 2016 GOP party platform, and you'll find that. Type in, this is what I did to get the Democrat one. I typed in 2016 Democrat Party platform, and I got the draft version of their party platform that they put together this week. And well, here's something that I found rather interesting. It should be of interest to us as believers. It's in the section entitled LGBT rights. It says Democrats applaud last year's decision by the Supreme Court that recognized LGBT people, like every other American, have the right to marry the person they love, but there is still much work to be done. LGBT kids continue to be bullied at school, a restaurant can refuse to serve a transgendered person, and a same-sex couple is at risk from being evicted from their home. That is unacceptable and must change. Let me interject here. We had candidate Hillary Clinton announce at one of her stops in the past year that churches have to change their beliefs on these things. I mean, she just said it. Churches must change their beliefs. Well, so much for accommodation and tolerance there. But it said that that is unacceptable and must change. Democrats will fight for comprehensive federal non-discrimination protections for all LGBT Americans and push back against state efforts to discriminate against LGBT individuals. We will combat LGBT youth homelessness and improve school climates, and we will protect transgendered individuals from violence. We will promote LGBT human rights and ensure America's foreign policy is inclusive of LGBT people around the world. And you can see very clearly that in stark contrast with the Republican Party platform, the Democrat Party platform is unabashedly for transgendered, same-sex marriage, all of these things certainly reading the Word of God, we can understand are contrary to the Word of God. And that's why I tell people, I said, you rather than tell you who to vote for, let me tell you how to vote. You should vote, if I might quote Senator Ted Cruz in his speech where he committed political suicide, in my opinion, on Wednesday night, vote your conscience. if I can use that phrase here this evening. But here's the thing. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you should try to get the candidate that is either going to best advance your beliefs and your positions, or, barring that, the candidate vote against the ones that will most threaten and go against your beliefs and convictions. And this is a pretty clear distinction between the Republican and the Democrat Party platforms. The Republican platform takes a stand in defense of the biblical definition of marriage, one man, one woman. The Democrat platform very much stands that you can marry anybody you love. They don't really mean that, because they wouldn't mean it if a brother and sister wanted to get married. They don't mean that. They wouldn't mean that if a grandmother wanted to marry her grandson. They don't mean that. They're limited. They draw the line. They just draw it at a different place than what I would. And So they've taken a very definite stand. You say, well, I can't vote for the Democrat because I agree. That is completely against my belief. That's completely against my my religious convictions. I can't vote for them, but I can't vote for Donald Trump because he's terrible and he's this and he's that. So I'm going to vote for the Libertarian Party. Have you checked out the Libertarian Party platform lately? I was perusing it the other week. I had intended on having a copy of that with me, but I don't know what happened to it. I can't find it on my computer right now. But basically, their position on this, on same-sex marriage and things, is a lot closer to the Democrat platform than it is to the Republican platform. So if you can't vote for the Democrat on this issue, well, how would you justify the Libertarian? Well, you know, that's something you have to think about. You know, the Libertarian Party platform also is for essentially legalizing prostitution, legalizing recreational drug use, all of these things. And you say, well, I can't vote for the Democrats and I can't vote for the Republican nominee because of Trump is this and Trump is that. As a Christian, I can't vote for him. I'm going to vote for the Libertarian Party. Well, then explain to me how you justify voting for a party whose platform is contrary to the Word of God in the area of prostitution and recreational drug use, and also in terms of the same-sex marriage, homosexuality, and things like that. You know, I just look at it this way. One of these two people is going to become president. I mean, really it is. Either the Democrat nominee or the Republican nominee. And here's where it comes down for me. And you can take of this what you will. You can accept it or modify it to fit you. But basically, I know what Hillary Clinton represents. I know what her party stands for. And I know what the Bible stands for. And they don't agree in very many places. And I wish to do everything that I can to protect my biblical beliefs. And the next important thing that's going to take place after this election immediately is a nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. Immediately, there's an empty seat. Anton Scalia passed away suddenly, unexpectedly. That seat is empty. Whoever becomes president is going to fill that seat. And you have to ask yourself, what kind of a justice are they going to put there? Are they going to put a justice in that seat that wants to defend the sanctity of life, or one that wants to erode and take away the advances that we have made in that area and push us back more towards the days of abortion on demand for the least little thing up until practically the day of delivery? Are we going to put somebody on the court that wants to defend traditional marriage, the biblical view of marriage? Or are we going to put somebody on the court that's going to further attack marriage in this country? Are we going to put somebody on the court? Here's another one, because this is important, and I think even for Bible-believing Christians, are we going to put somebody on the court that is going to defend our Second Amendment rights? Or are we going to put somebody on the court that's going to try to get rid of them? I remind people about a year and a half ago, something like that, the court ruled by one vote, a 5-4 decision, that the militia in the Second Amendment refers to the people of the United States, not the military. Well, it was obviously the people. The sad thing is that it was only 5-4. It should have been 9-0. Well, the courts gave us same-sex marriage. The courts gave us abortion on demand. The courts have given us these things, not the legislative, not the executive. And who is going to put the next person on that court? I want to do everything in my power to keep somebody off from or from becoming president that's going to put people on that court that are going to attack the sanctity of life and that are going to attack the biblical definition of marriage. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our phone number 888-677-9673. We've got Ken calling in here this evening. And Ken, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes, praise the Lord, Brother Al.
Amen. Glad to have you with us tonight. How are you doing?
Yeah, when I say what I'm going to say, don't get me wrong.
Oh, go ahead.
Because I'm in great agreement with those good Christian pro-life, pro-family men that say, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I definitely see where they're coming from and in agreement, but I really like the platform of the Constitution Party. That's where the best guys are.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question.
Here's what their platform says.
Yeah.
Finally, the National Committee of the Constitution Party encourages all Americans to once again consider the solemn admonition of Scripture
mm-hmm.
so many of our nation's founders turned to in times of distress. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14, mm-hmm. Holy Bible.
Right.
We therefore urge our fellow Americans to join with us in repentance before the Lord, our Redeemer, for the evil and wickedness that we have allowed to become commonplace in our beloved nation, and to seek his mercy to heal our land.
Yeah. And Ken, just to let you know, we probably got about 30 seconds or so before the break. And I endorse that 100%. The only problem is the Constitution Party, I mean, being realistic, is not going to win. It's not going to win in November.
Yeah, Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley.
What's that?
Darrell Castle for president.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, realistically, they're not going to win. I mean, they're not going to win. And voting for them might feel good, but it's not going to help keep the Democrats out of office. And it's not going
to
hey, we got 10 seconds to go. If you can stay with us, we can pick this up on the other side. So stick with us. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to get you on the air with your questions here tonight. And just a reminder, of course, brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And just mention them, because if you're in northeastern Ohio, certainly encourage you to visit them. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And we also mention this because if you're not in northeastern Ohio, maybe you're outside of the area and you're interested in opening your own pizza shop, or maybe you've got a restaurant and you want to add pizza, a great pizza recipe to your lineup, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. 3419100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back into our program here, and we've got a couple people here calling in, and also talking with Ken here also this evening. And before we hit the break there, we were talking about the party platforms and Republican versus Democrat versus Libertarian. And Ken called up talking about the Constitution Party, which has an excellent platform. And where we had left off before the break was the question about, as nice as the Constitution Party platform may sound and as attractive as the candidate is, certainly to us as Bible-believing Christians, what realistically are the chances of that party taking the White House this November? And I was thinking about that. I've been looking at the Constitution Party since I was in high school in the 1970s, and they have never gotten above 1% of the vote in any national election. I don't know if they've ever gotten above 0.1% of the vote. So, Ken, thanks for holding, and welcome back to the program here right now.
I just wanted to mention one more thing.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you there.
I just wanted to mention one more thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, at the top of their list of the Constitution Party for the Supreme Court would be Judge Roy Moore of Alabama.
Well, that would be great. But here, because time is short and we have, you know, some other people calling in, I want to get to the heart of this, because as attractive as the Constitution Party is, what are the odds realistically of that party taking the White House? What do you think about that?
Zero.
Well, okay, that's kind of my point, because in a perfect world, I mean, that I would love to think that we could nominate or, you know, back them and that they would get in. And even if we did, and of course the response usually would be something along the lines of, well, if everybody backed them, that would be fine. But unfortunately, people like you and I, Ken, are a minority in this country, a very tiny minority, even somewhat of a minority in the Republican Party circles, you know, for which, you know, tends to cater more to us than any of the other parties, major parties. But we'll have to wrap this up because I got more callers calling in, Ken. But a closing point on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that on Trump's list was William Pryor, who was the prosecutor of Judge Roy Moore when he expelled him for the Ten Commandments.
Oh, yeah, for her nominees for Supreme Court?
Yeah,
and you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's really good and for our, you know, for people to be informed, just like you brought this information up. This is, you know, great information. We need to be informed, and we need to know who these people are before we cast those votes in the fall. And I want to thank you for bringing that up, Ken. And I'm sure we'll be talking about this more in the future. And so I want to thank you for your call there. And I want to jump into a couple more people that we've got calling in here tonight. Thanks for that call, Ken. We're going to jump to our next phone call here. We've got Al calling in. And Al, welcome to the program tonight. Hello, Al.
This is Don, Pastor Al.
Oh, okay. This is Tom.
I just wanted to reiterate, what everybody else is saying, and probably what you're saying, too. I try to run for local politics. And basically, when you get into the political game, it's a numbers game.
Yes, you're right.
And basically, I don't know what's going to be on that ballot, but I think probably besides Libertarian, you're probably going to have a Green Party. You're probably going to have, other selections. And I hear a lot of people, especially a lot of pastors, kind of reiterating the conscience thing. And that, if from my vantage point, if you vote for anything other than Trump, you wind up voting for Hillary.
I agree with that.
And it's a simple numbers game. And unfortunately, I know he's not the best of the best, but we're not electing God.
Yeah.
He's
not the best, but he's not the worst.
Yes, and I agree with everybody. I always get afraid of that word conscience, though, because of the fact that there's a lot of times people out there kind of reinterpret that, and it comes out that, maybe they should vote for someone else. And unfortunately, we only have two selections. It's like we have heaven.
Realistically,
we have hell.
You're correct.
There's no in between, no purgatory in between here. So I just wanted to mention that. And like I say, I've seen that. And I've heard the term conscience come up with a lot of things. But even if they decide not to vote, that's a vote for Hillary. And that's the unfortunate thing, too.
And you're right there, because what a lot of people don't realize, they feel good voting for somebody that isn't going to win because they like their positions. But the problem is the consequences of that vote and what it achieves, because generally speaking, I know there's always exceptions, but generally speaking, the third party that you vote for most helps the major party that's furthest from your position. We saw that with Ross Perot. We saw that with Anderson, some of these people that have run third-party campaigns in the past. Voting for Anderson actually hindered the Democrats and helped Ronald Reagan, and voting for Ross Perot actually hindered the Republicans and helped Bill Clinton come into office. And even as far back as Theodore Roosevelt, when he ran in the Bull Moose Party, he actually hurt the party that was the candidate whose positions were the closest to his. And that's unfortunately in our system of government today, the way that it's structured right now, either the Republican or the Democrat is going to take office next January. That's who's going to be sworn in as president. And yes, God can work a miracle, but I think most of us would agree that God is probably not going to elevate one of these third parties. I mean, he could, but, realistically, I have to face the facts that it's going to be probably a Republican or a Democrat. So we want to do what we can to keep the worst one out and hopefully get the least worst one, if nothing else.
And I think we all need to pray really hard for this.
Well, and that's a great comment, because prayer does work. Look what happened here in Cleveland, how God protected this area. And we think about that. Here's another thing. How many times have kings in the Old Testament that started out as pagan kings, like King Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan idolater. And he destroyed Jerusalem, and in fact, God put him in that position and called him his servant. But later on, King Nebuchadnezzar, if you read the book of Daniel, recognized who the one true God was and became a godly man, and he praised and acknowledged the one true God. And then there was King Manasseh, one of the most wicked kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. And he was even taken captive by the Assyrians and thrown in a Babylonian prison. wicked man, an idolater, and in that prison cell, he repented, and he acknowledged the God of the Bible as the only one true God, and God brought him out of the prison cell, put him back on the throne. He became a godly king. You know, so we should pray for Donald Trump. There's a number of pastors that have his ear right now that can talk to him and have been sharing the gospel with him. And there's stories going around about him and being receptive. So we need to pray that God can get a hold of his heart. So that's prayer changes things. That's true.
Well, thank you for that information, and looking forward to seeing you at the Summit County Fairgrounds, I hope.
Well, hey, I'm glad you mentioned that up. If you're out, if you're here in Northeast Ohio, forgot to mention that coming out of the break. Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, is going to be at the Summit County Fair this week, Tuesday through Sunday, and I hope people stop by. We're located where we were last year, just inside after the main gate, and we have our display there with some information about the church, about the radio program, and some things to get people thinking, and we're looking forward to being there. It's going to be a busy week, but looking forward to it.
So, well, thank you, and God bless you.
All right. God bless. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the call tonight. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Chris calling in tonight. And, Chris, welcome to the program here this evening.
Thank you. I got a question about psychics.
Yes.
Is there such a thing as God-gifted psychics? And what happens if you deal with one or that type of thing?
Okay. The Bible basically condemns psychics, what we would call psychics today. They were called fortune tellers and things like that, necromancers and things. And they were people that were in touch with spirits and stuff. Let me see if I can see here Deuteronomy chapter 13, I think, is where I want to go to. Let me take a quick look over here. But basically, the Bible condemns these things, going the wrong way here. There's a passage in Acts, if I can think of that one here real quick. I'm going to go there as well, I think, in Acts chapter 19 or 20. So I'm just, let me find here. Let's see. In Deuteronomy chapter, and I'm going to find it here if I'm not in the wrong chapter here or the wrong book. We'll find it here in a minute and get to this. But there's a condemnation of psychics, because basically what psychics are doing is they're in touch with, they don't call them familiar spirits today, that's what they are. They're fallen angels, what the Bible calls devils. And also, we use the term demons today. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, there was another one I was looking for, but I found this one in Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is what it says here. And this was under the law that God gave to Israel. It says in Deuteronomy 18, verse number 10, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination." And divination here is the predicting the future, which is what psychics tend to try to do. And it continues, "or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, and then he says, "for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, thy God doth drive them out from before thee." And see, God calls these things an abomination. And psychics that we think of today would be in this list. And something else you need to remember about psychics is that most of them are just complete frauds and charlatans. And they're very good at reading people. And I heard somebody who was doing a fake psychic thing, and he was talking to a telemarketer, and he said to the telemarketer, "I'm a psychic." And they said, "What?" And he said, "It's coming to me that you're not happy in your work." Well, most telemarketers aren't real happy in their work. And so that was known as a broad general statement. And he basically was saying things until he got things that she reacted to, and trying to convince her that he was actually, you know, telling her fortune and giving a psychic reading over the phone to her. And so it's, these things happen all the time. Let me take a look over here in Leviticus chapter 19 here. And here's another one here in verse number, let's see. This is not the one I thought it was. There, I'm in the wrong verse. Here, you drop down here. Here we go. Chapter 19, verse 31. I get mildly dyslexic. I was looking at verse 13. I turned my 31 around. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And again, these are those types of statements that condemn fortune-telling, that condemn consulting with spirits and things of that nature. And we need to understand that God, because he condemns it, we as Christians should not be involved in that that type of thing. And as Christians, if we have been involved in that, we do need to renounce that, and we do need to turn from that sort of thing. You know, we confess to the Lord that we've been involved in things that we shouldn't have been in. In Acts chapter 19, I wanted to get to this here. There's a case here in Acts chapter 19 where there's some people who had been involved in fortune telling and divination and things like this, and there was a case where Paul casts an evil spirit out of. Some Jews try to cast an evil spirit out of some man in the name of Paul and all that. And when this happens, it says here in Acts 19, verse 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. Many of them also which use curious arts. That's talking about magic, sorcery, what we would call psychic things today. They brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So you see these people, when they came to Christ, they put away these things, and they even got rid of the books and the things that were very valuable. They burned them. They didn't sell them. They didn't give them away. They burned them, and they renounced all connection to this psychic activity, to this spiritualism, to this divination that they had been involved in. And so, as you were talking about this at the beginning, when you first came on the air, about what Christians ought to, you know, their relationship with psychic activity ought to be. Well, certainly we should avoid it. If we've been involved in it, we should renounce it, confess it before the Lord, and ask him to deliver us from any bondage or attachment that the devil might try to use on us through that psychic activity. Much of it, as I said, is fraud, fraudulent, and it's faked. Let me encourage people to go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And on the right-hand side of it, I have a series on there dealing with the idea of fake psychics and fraudulent faith healers. And it's a four-part series that's actually there. You can listen to it. Obviously, tonight I'm kind of scrambling to come up with some things here real quick here on the program. But it goes into a little more detail on there. Talks about how they fake some of these things. There's a great term, it's called Barnum statements. And if I said, for instance, a Barnum statement is a broad statement that most anybody would say, yeah, that sounds like what's happening in my life. I could say, you know, there's people tonight that are listening, and you're finding yourself tired, and yet at the same time, you're staying up later than you want to stay up. Well, it's almost midnight, and you're listening to the program here, and I get tired myself listening to the program, but I want to stay up. And that's such a general statement, but the person who wants to believe wants to believe that. Here's another thing. I could say, I want you to think of a number between, an odd number between 1 and 11. And, you know, it'd be a number like 5 or 9. And so most people, I could say, are thinking of the number 7. But if you're not thinking of 7, you know, you might have been thinking of 3. Well, those are the only numbers that I didn't name. And people will say, wow, we must have connected psychically. But those are all fraudulent things, games that they do, and to make people think they have psychic activity. But there is a small percentage of it where there's genuine demonic activity involved. And oftentimes in those cases, even the psychic themselves think that they have some mental powers, and they're not aware of how deceived that they are by the devil themselves. And people want to believe these things, but the reason people go to them oftentimes is because they're not getting what they want from God when they want it, and they're looking to a source outside of God. Saul got in trouble when he went to the witch at Endor, when after they got rid of all the psychics, all the witches, all the people like that out of the land, and he wasn't getting an answer from God, so he went to a psychic, and the psychic basically gave him a message that, guess what, tomorrow you and your sons are going to be dead, and it happened. God allowed that to happen in that case, but it was also a rebuke to Saul. So I know I've been talking a lot there, and I hope I touched on some of your things, but when we were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, they had what they call fofos, and these were basically witch doctors, and many of them would claim that God was a part of this, and it wasn't God, it wasn't the God of the Bible, it was the God of this world. They were dealing with devils, and many times they thought they were dealing with God, and people would say, but they must be dealing with God because they use the Bible in their activities. Well, the devil knows the Bible. Remember when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he used the Bible against Jesus. He tried to, at least. And so, to the law and to the testimony, the Bible says, if they agree not with these things, it's because there is no light in them. And more that I wanted to talk to there, didn't get to here. You know, if somebody speaks a name, a prophecy in the name of the Lord, and it doesn't come to pass, Deuteronomy 18, verse 21, they said, how do we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? He says this in verse 19, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet that prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And most psychics, even the good ones, have an abysmal track record. They're wrong far more often than what they're right. And yet people still follow them. And you know, it's just unbelievable sometimes, and what people will do in following psychics. But the devil preys upon people that way. Charlatans prey upon people that way. You know, probably one of the best examples of that is the telephone psychics. You know, I'd like to be one time and say, you're going to experience a significant financial loss very soon, because all the money they're spending to be on the phone with that psychic. Chris, appreciate your call tonight. I know I probably didn't cover everything that you wanted to ask, and we're running out of time. Just got a few moments left. If you want to say something real quick there, we can maybe...
Is there any legitimacy to a small percentage of psychics? Then it's like a criminal psychic or something like that.
No, they're either fakes, fraudulent, and things... That Sylvia Brown that died was a big fake. It's been proven. Or they're being given information by the devil. Have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.